My main response to the world is not one of anger. As I get older, I find it's one of disappointment.
I'm not angry at you. I'm disappointed.
Oh no, everyone will be so disappointed.
That was disappointing.
I was so disappointed by the events of the day.
I'm very disappointed.
Well, my friend is awfully disappointed.
I am so disappointed in myself.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, indeed. The lady will be disappointed.
Hello, I'm Wendy, and you're listening to So Disappointed, the podcast that asks you about some of the things that have really let you down. Disappointment comes in so many forms. Maybe you've been disappointed by a film or television franchise, or an artist you admire, a political figure, an ideology, or just the human race in general. The permutations are endless. We'll be looking at why we get so invested in people and things to such an extent that we get angry when they let us down. Why do we care? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with them? In this episode, we'll be looking at a cultural phenomenon from 1999, which sharply divided opinion. The Blair Witch Project.
This is my home, which I am leaving the comforts of for the weekend to explore the Blair Witch.
I can see you.
I'm real excited about this. Thank you for
I'm
the opportunity.
I'm very glad.
This area's been haunted by that old woman for years.
I don't know why you have to have every conversation on video.
Because we're making a documentary.
Not about us getting lost. We're making a documentary about a witch.
I know.
Lost? Admit that first.
No, I know we're not lost.
All over the place.
But how do we know it was people?
Well, even if it wasn't, I'm not going to play with that either.
And it's all because of me that we're here now. Hungry. And cold. And hunted. I just want to apologize to Mike's mom and Josh's mom and my mom.
Before we get started, just a little word of warning. If you've never seen The Blair Witch Project before, and you'd like to see it, and you'd like to enjoy it, I can tell you that this episode of So Disappointed definitely includes spoilers. And secondly, this episode discusses some of the ideas of British psychologist Simon Baron Cohen. We just want you to know that just because we discuss the ideas, it doesn't mean that we agree with them. And now, on with the show. It's Halloween 1999. I'm in the Odeon in Glasgow to see the biggest film event of the year face facts, phantom menace. It's the Blair Witch Project, a low-budget, found footage horror in which three film students investigate some spooky folklore weirdness in the woods surrounding Burkittsville, Maryland. It's not like any horror film we've ever seen before. The whole thing is shot by the actors themselves on two handheld cameras. There are no familiar faces, no special effects or music. There's just a terrible sense of creeping dread and mounting hysteria. I'm utterly captivated by the experience, and it really is an experience. My whole body is tense. My fight or flight mode has been activated. I want out of there. I'm so scared.
Hello?
I'm not scared by our yelling. But it sounds like footsteps.
I know, that's from a person.
The woman next to me keeps grabbing my arm. I'm letting her because it's comforting. My heart and my mind are racing. I'm right there with the characters every step of the way. This is a gripping and hugely effective horror film. By the end, I'm drained, exhausted by the constant tension, and I assume everyone in the cinema feels the same way. The closing credits roll, and one of the lads in the row in front of me stands up and says,
"That was pish!"
Okay. I'm sensing a profound difference of opinion here. But why? Why was that lad, and as I would soon discover, so many other people, frustrated by the Blair Witch Project? We watched the same film, and yet our reactions were just so very, very different. And it wasn't just the audience. Leading film critics were divided too. The legendary Roger Ebert loved the film and wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times,
"At a time when digital techniques can show us almost anything, the Blair Witch Project is a reminder that what really scares us is the stuff we can't see. The noise in the dark is almost always scarier than what makes the noise in the dark."
Meanwhile, fellow critic Andrew Saris of the New York Observer had a more caustic view.
"Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez's The Blair Witch Project represents the ultimate triumph of the Sundance scam. Make a heartless home movie, get enough critics to blurb in near unison, scary, and watch the suckers flock to be fleeced. This fictional documentary within a pseudo-documentary form may be the most overrated, underfinanced piece of film to come down the pike in a long time."
It's clear that for some, the experience of watching these increasingly terrified characters stumbling around an inescapable, claustrophobic wood, while seemingly supernatural events unfold around them, tapped into their own deep primal fears of becoming lost and helpless. A waking nightmare. But for others, it was a mystifying chore in which nothing happens, in which nothing explicit is ever shown on screen. To try and understand these almost visceral differences of opinion, I spoke to our resident psychologist, David Myers.
Okay, so the landscape of the film, you're kind of immersed in it. It's very weird. You're with the characters every step of the way. They're passing the camera back and forward. You're kind of taken in by the fact that they're probably not acting. It looks really, really believable. Psychologically, a lot of the way in which we react to horror films comes from us not seeing something. Our brains filling in the gaps in terms of what might be happening off screen. However, a lot of people, because they're maybe used to watching horror films which are more visual in nature, will find that really frustrating. They want an answer. They want to know what's going on.
Right. Blair Witch is a psychological horror film, so viewers will react differently to it depending on their temperament.
There's a couple of different psychological explanations, I think, in terms of what's going on for people when they've been watching the Blair Witch Project. It made me think, in terms of the different ways that people reacted to it, it's a model which came out of autism research, actually, known as empathizing and systemizing, which was the idea of a psychologist called Simon Baron Cohen. It's like a dichotomous view of the way that people think and move around the world in terms of the types of material that they will react preferentially towards. So people who empathize on one hand will respond more to people's emotions, how they're feeling and how they think people are feeling. Whereas systemizers are looking to analyze the situation, see what they can understand from what's actually happening. What's the pattern? What is it I'm actually seeing here?
And you never actually see the antagonist, whatever it is, in the film. You're just aware of their presence as the story unfolds. It's all done with sound and suggestion. And of course, that famous scene where it starts hammering in their tent.
Take the video camera. No, get the duck ready.
Go, go! Hurry up!
I'm coming! My boots are in place!
Oh my God, what the f*** is that? What the f*** is that?
So I guess for people who were absolutely terrified for the film, by the film, sorry, they're more kind of empathizing because the film's so immersive, because of the terror of the characters, because of the sort of unknownness and strangeness of the situation. Your emotions are really drawn towards the actors and what they're experiencing. Systemizers, on the other hand, will be looking at it going, right, okay, what's the point of this? What is it that I'm seeing here? It's just a bunch of folk running around in the woods, screaming at the top of their head, their lungs. There's some twigs snapping over to the right. What's the problem? Where's the monster? Where's the scary thing?
I'd like you to meet Simon and Nikki, a couple from Grimsby, who went to see the film when it came out in 1999. Their polar opposite reactions are a perfect case in point.
So the Blair Witch Project, we were living together, but probably hadn't been for very long. Yeah. And it was something we were really excited about seeing. We went with a friend of ours, Johnny, and we saw the trailer when we'd seen another film. And I was absolutely buzzing to see it based upon the trailer myself.
And then our friend Johnny had been to see it, and I'm not even sure how he would have messaged us, because it was before MySpace, it was before all of that. But he'd been to see it, and somebody had been sick in the audience, or been sick on him, I think.
I think the girl behind him had been sick.
Yeah, so it was already quite hyped.
So I was thinking, that must be such a terrifying film.
That people are vomiting at the sheer horror.
So then we were even more hyped to go and see it. So we went, there was it's not there anymore, but there was a little old Flea Pit cinema in Grimsby, a little three-screen outfit. So went into the screening, we bought a ticket. I'm sat there really hyped. You were really looking forward to it as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
And within sort of 10 or 15 minutes, I was just thinking, this isn't the film I thought it was going to be. It had been so hyped up, and the picture quality to my eyes was just absolutely awful. With a shaky hand cam, I know that was part of it, but I soon got the impression that the reason this girl had thrown up on my mate's back was probably because she was nauseous from watching it.
Whereas for me, I thought that whole shaky cam thing was, I'd not seen anything like that before. I thought it was really atmospheric. I seem to think you didn't like the characters either. I mean, none of them are like, you don't love them. You're not rooting for any of them, I don't think, really. But you really disliked the characters, and I was quite pleased that they came to a sticky end.
I for one thing, as Nick says, I found all the characters really irritating, and I was struggling to follow what was going on the screen because I had to keep looking away because of this whole motion sickness thing.
Whereas I found that built the tension, because it's an unreliable, it was an unreliable view because it was shaky and it was disorientating. And to me, that kind of added to it, because they were very disorientated. I think it brought that out on the screen really well.
So I could see what was going on, but because I was struggling to follow it, when it came to the finale and the guy is stood in the corner of the room and the film more or less comes to an end, I was just like,
thank God.
What was that? What was that about? And the first thing that came out, and it was like, oh my God, that was terrifying.
And it terrified me for weeks. And do you remember my sister went to see it like a couple of days after we'd been to see it, and her husband like hid in the corner of their bedroom, and it absolutely freaked her out. It really, really freaked her out. And it just stuck with me for weeks. Just that terror, just being forced to stand in that corner, really, really got to me.
Where I was like, why is he stood in the corner? Because I hadn't been able to follow the film at all. So we came out with two
very different views.
Very different views, really. It wasn't even the fact that I hated it. I just didn't see the point in it. I'm a big sort of horror movie buff, so I've been looking forward to this for weeks. It had really been hyped in all the trailers. There was a lot of noise in the media at the time about how scary it was.
It was marketed very well, and I think it just, for you, fell a bit short of the hype.
So yeah, it. I was just left very cold, really.
But yeah, it terrified me.
The Blair Witch Project's innovative viral marketing campaign was a big part of the film's success. Remember, in 1999, the internet was something most of us were still getting used to. And we certainly weren't used to a horror film being marketed with a website that presented the whole thing as real. We were told that three film students really had disappeared in the Burkittsville Woods in 1994, and that a police investigation was still ongoing. So, the documentary you were about to see was edited from footage found in the woods after they mysteriously vanished. The documentary you were about to see was essentially a snuff movie. Now, that was all good fun. Of course, it wasn't real. But was it also part of the reason why some people felt so let down by the end result? Could it never live up to the hype? Our very own film critic, Eddie Harrison, has thoughts.
I think it's one of these unique films that it's not really about the quality of the film, although it's very well done. It's just about being the right film at the right time. And in these situations, you get a kind of champagne cork moment where something is propelled into kind of pop culture consciousness in a way that it's just there permanently from the moment it exists. And the Blair Witch Project was one of these things. I think the it's a kind of misunderstood thing as well, in that it was a deliberate publicity stunt. I think they opened it originally in like a handful of cinemas and sold them out, and then the next week opened it in like 2,500 cinemas across America. And you can't do that without having a publicity budget in place to do it, and you can't do that without having prints to go to all the cinemas. You couldn't just digitally, you know, send the prints out in the way that they do now. And it benefited from the idea that still exists today, that people believe things that they see on the internet, even though they are one, adverts, or two, lies, or, you know, that the people haven't always believed what you saw on the news, but it had a certain credibility depending on where you're getting it from. But with Blair Witch, there was just this kind of almost let's pretend notion where people felt, right, okay, you know, some people believe this is real, some people are saying it's fake, but I'm going to go along and I'm going to take that ghost train ride anyway.
But what if you're not the kind of person who would surrender themselves to that kind of structured reality?
I'm sure a lot of people could see through it, but a lot of people didn't want to see through it, and a lot of people wanted to go along with it. So you end up with this kind of almost like Peter Pan, you know, clap your hands if you want the spirits to come kind of thing, where people decided that they wanted to believe in this and they wanted to play along with it.
But in the end, it's clearly a fictional horror film. I mean, it's a very convincing pseudo-documentary horror film. So why do you think some people felt so disappointed by it?
I like to think I can see both sides of this argument, in that, you know, I kind of grew up certainly starting with Hammer films, and Hammer films are so ornate, you know, and it's all about the way Peter Cushing, you know, spits out his dialogue, and Michael Ripper, and wonderful costumes, and kind of, you know, a real kind of gothic. And I get that for people, if that's your idea of horror, then, you know, some very rough looking camera footage just of the same bit of woods with nothing happening and people sounding more and more distressed may seem like a really blunt way of doing it, of making a horror film. But I also think that there's room for both of these things in the world, you know. But I think it's possible for both this film to be, you know, a kind of a blunt lightning rod that kind of changes the direction of cinema, certainly horror cinema, but also it's an effective thrill ride. It definitely, it does that thing that you want it to do.
Film critic Lucy Munoth disagrees. She first saw The Blair Witch Project aged 13 at a friend's birthday party, and that vivid sense of disappointment has remained with her ever since.
So it was the kind of movie night kind of thing, a lot of people watching it together, so usually any movie is okay, because, you know, you're gonna just talk to your friends or joke around, you don't need to put all your full attention in it. However, for some reason, we did get like absorbed And we were just trying to figure out why the hell this movie had ever been made in the first place. So it was the kind of thing that's like, to us, it was so bad, we just couldn't decipher why would anyone do it. And the main reason is the whole film is just a group of American teenagers or young adults just yelling at each other and hating each other. And we were just trying to figure out, like, where is the witch? When is the witch going to appear? For 2 hours. And we were just dying to see the witch and to figure out, like, okay, other than being lost, what is this movie about? And then the last 5 minutes, we were scared, like, out of our minds, because it was all very frantic, and the witch was there, and everything is dark, and they're running and trying to, like, escape her or whatever. So we were just thinking, like, why is this such a long movie? You know, like, it could have been 10 minutes. It would have been just fine. Like, I don't need a whole hour, over an hour, of a group of people just yelling at each other about how lost they are and whose fault is it.
So how do you feel about the film now?
I mean, back when I heard that it was this, like, student project and like, how it came to be, I was like, you know what, like, for a student project, I've done student projects like this. I've studied cinema and I've done this, like, you know, terrible, terrible short films. So I thought, you know, it's actually not bad at all.
But I take it you're not on board with its reputation as a seminal horror film classic.
Yeah, that is something that I will never understand. Who takes pleasure in watching 2 hours of people arguing with each other? I don't know, like, do you not hear arguing in your life enough? Like, I don't know.
Ian, a former military man, was stationed near Las Vegas when the Blair Witch Project came out. Intrigued by a positive, spoiler-free review he'd read on analogue internet precursor Teletext, he decided to visit his nearest cinema, situated beside the famous MGM Grand Hotel, on a half day off. Apart from its basic premise, he knew next to nothing about the film going in.
I think there was about 20 of us in this huge cinema. That was it. And I remember at the end of it, because you know how the film ends, the camera falls over, you see a figure. But I just turned to this guy next to me and says, what the freaking hell was that about? I don't think I was actually disappointed by it. It was just a case of not what I was expecting. I'd never seen anything on this found footage genre. But I was neither disappointed or thrilled by the film. Considering how much they made it for and whatever, I think they did an absolutely superb job at making it. I think by the time it came out in the UK, because I think it came out in the UK middle of October, and I'd seen it 9 weeks before that, and it had become a completely different beast. And I don't think that any film could ever live up to the hype that the Blair Witch Project had. It was a cheap psychological thriller that had been built up into something it wasn't, and that's maybe where people got the disappointment from.
But what of those people who weren't disappointed by the film? People like me, and maybe you? Kat Orr, a musician and horror fan based in Glasgow, was 19 when she saw it during its first week of release. And she was entirely swept away.
I couldn't wait to see the Blair Witch Project. I was so excited. I completely bought into the marketing campaign. And I remember the text coming up at the start of the film. I was front row. And just from the start, I totally bought it. So I thought I was watching a video recording of their last moments on this earth. And I thought that the chemistry between them was great and very believable. You know, the scenes leading up to them actually getting into the woods, it just seemed so genuine. I didn't think for a minute that this wasn't real, which seems so ridiculous now. Yeah, that first night when they're in the tent and you hear the cracking sounds outside was terrifying, so scary. Those noises were so intense in the cinema. It was just so loud and quite overwhelming. And at the time, I was so scared I couldn't rationalise about what could be making that noise. And having watched it quite recently, 20 plus years on, I wonder, was that them cracking the sticks that were used to make those hanging pagan symbols? Was it the stones? Was it the rocks that they'd built up, that they discovered built up in little piles when they came out of the tent? Was someone cracking rocks together? I then found out that, and I think this was maybe when I realised that it wasn't genuine footage, because I think even after having seen it, I still thought that it was real. But somebody had told me the actors were fed lots of bananas, or they were fed nothing but bananas in order to induce some sort of hysteria or make them more susceptible to being terrified and inducing these, what I think were incredible performances and just so believable. I remember finding it very, very tense from really as soon as they get into the woods, but as soon as they find the house, and when they get inside the house, the creepy handprints, everyone's in a panic. I was absolutely petrified. And I think for the last minute or so, I might have held my breath or forgotten how to breathe. I was so scared. And getting to that last scene of him standing facing the corner. You've heard this story at the start about the killer making his victim stand facing the corner of the room. I wanted to run out of the cinema. I was so frightened. It was just so horrifying. And I still thought that it was real. It's just so bleak. The following summer, I was in the States on the East Coast and ended up going to Burkittsville, possibly with the hope that I might spot some of the people that were interviewed at the start of the film.
During the course of our research for this episode, we even heard from a BFI archivist. This is a woman who really knows her film, who was furious about the representation of witches in the Blair Witch Project. Her name is Scarlett, and she said,
"The Blair Witch in the film is not representative of real witches. That's insulting. We know from history that most of the women that were accused of witchcraft weren't actually witches, just women that for one reason or another fell away from society and were vilified for it. What we understand now was that actually witches were the healers, the ones that looked after other children and women that understood herbs and natural remedies were midwives. These women don't have special powers that the media like to portray them with. They may have had some talent, empathy, a natural affinity for animals. So I'm not sure what power this ancient witch supposedly had that could force someone to face a wall in a derelict basement."
She was even incensed that they went into the woods without a gun. Never mind all that supernatural gubbins, there are bears out there. A fair point, I think. I also think it's fair to say that the people who were disappointed by the Blair Witch Project weren't wrong. Of course they weren't. They just weren't tuned into its wavelength. It wasn't a film for them. But of course, they went to see it because the hype was so intense. And for the rest of us, we, who regard it as one of the scariest horror films ever made, we're not wrong either. And we all find it so disappointing when people see something in a work of art that others don't. With the Blair Witch Project, some of us saw something in the darkness, in the unseen, and it lingered with us, while others saw nothing more than a noisy, pointless hoax. Well, however you feel, please, don't have nightmares.
Hear that? Hear that? Where is he?
Where are you? Come on! Josh! I hear him downstairs! Come on! I hear him downstairs! Josh! Josh, is that you down there?
And this is the important end bit, where we ask you to tell us all about your disappointments.
So please feel free to reach us on Blue Sky or Instagram, and you can email the show at sodisappointedpod@gmail.com. Your stories really are absolutely vital for this podcast, and we can't wait to hear from you. Now that you've heard us wanging on and on about our disappointment, why don't you give it a go? The next time you're around your friends, family, or colleagues, ask them to cite an example of a time when someone or something in the public eye disappointed them to the point of anger, depression, and defeat. I promise you, you'll be talking for hours, and we want to know what you were talking about. My name is Wendy, and like you, I'm so disappointed.
You are so disappointing on so many levels.
So Disappointed was written and edited by Paul Whitelaw and me. I'm Wendy Jordan. Quotes were read by actors Laura Hogg and Sprite Kirkwood. Thanks to our resident psychologist David Myers and our resident film critic Eddie Harrison. And our biggest thanks to our wonderful, warm and generous guests Lucy Munoz, Ian, Nikki and Simon. In the next episode of So Disappointed, it's Morrissey.
I carried on warily enjoying the records, knowing full well that he was capable of spouting this kind of garbage in interviews. I just think he became a little too comfortable at being this kind of sage of pop. It's a very dangerous position to put anyone in, because you start to make these people believe that they're a misunderstood genius.